Richie says we're good. Amen. I saw that in there. But looking forward to it. I don't know if we'll be back up this way until July. We're already trying to make our camp fees for our kids and our adults. Last year we brought 40 people, right at 40 people. Yeah, hoping we can bring a little bit more. And Brother Charlie would be all mad because he'd look at, where's everybody at? They all at camp, amen. But we always enjoy camp and getting to see what God can do at camp. And God really has worked in my heart at camp. I've been going to camp since 1998. I've not missed a year. Most times we're in camp three times a year. This year we'll be in camp, Lord willing, in June, July, and August. And my August camp, I'll be in Nova Scotia preaching. And last year they had over 100 kids in Nova Scotia. And you talking about primitive, there's there the first 2 years they didn't even have a working bathroom. Man, how would you girls like to go down to the outhouse? Amen. And some of the cabins don't even have mattresses. And they come and they have a good time in the Lord. And I think sometimes we don't realize how blessed we are. We're blessed beyond measure. Amen. God's been so good to us. And so I'm looking forward to it. Lord willing, we'll be back in July. And I'll do my best to bring you some donuts, son. I will do my best if I can remember. I am getting old and decrepit. Amen. Me and my wife will be celebrating 30 years of marriage in July. Amen. I know that's a shocker. Amen. Anybody could ever stay with her for 30 years. But amen. But Lord's been good to me. And I tell you, if God hadn't saved me, I couldn't be standing here today. We wouldn't be celebrating 30 years. I'd only have one child because me and my wife were heading for divorce. But that's what God can do. If God, you let God get into something. Yeah. And you just submit to God, and God can work things out. I want you to take your Bibles and go to 2 Kings chapter number 6. Amen. 2 Kings chapter number 6. A couple weeks ago, I'm not preaching on this subject, but I was preaching on when Jezebel steps out of the shadows. You know, Elijah was dealing with Ahab, but there will come a day that Jezebel stepped out of them shadows. And she come after Elijah's victories on Mount Carmel. And she came after that preacher so hard he wanted to die. And then you read this morning in Numbers 11. Mm-hmm. Moses had got to the point where he just wanted to die. Yeah, yeah. And I saw something interesting in Numbers as he was reading. Do you realize that the Lord said, hey, Moses was higher than any prophet. He said, I talked to him face to face. He said, he's not a prophet because I come to him in dreams. But him, I'm face to face. And boy, wouldn't you like to have that relationship with the Lord? And so then I talked about Jezebel. Not only did she want your victories, I tell you something else she wants. She wanted Naboth's vineyards.
Yes, sir.
And boy, that's something that, you know, Naboth said, you can't have that. That's something God's given me. That's something. You know what Jezebel wants? She wants everything God's given you.
Yes, sir.
And she don't want you leaving here tonight. The devil don't want you leaving here with any kind of joy or peace or faith. But tonight, I want us to preach directly to the church. I think this might help you. I don't know. I'm not one of these shotgun preachers. Well, I just blast off and try to hit everybody. I hope God takes a 30-06 and zeros in somebody's heart. I've had people say, especially I preach sometimes in Louisiana. They said, well, you're preaching, you were stepping on my toes. And I said, I sure am sorry. I wasn't aiming for your toes. I was aiming for your heart. 2 Kings chapter number 6. Let's look at verse number 8. We'll read down to verse number 17. The king of Syria warred against Israel. And they took counsel with his servants, saying, in such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place. From thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God had told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servant and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? One of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elijah the prophet that is Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou spoken in thy bedchambers." And he said, "Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." And I was told him, saying, "Behold, he's in Dothan." Therefore set he thither horses and chariots and great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. When the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, in a host encompassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" And he answered and said, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Amen. And Elijah prayed and said, "Lord," now I want you to focus on this part right here. He said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see."
That's right.
And the Lord opened his eyes, the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses, chariots, and fire around about Elijah. Now we find here in this story that the man of God can see some things that this man, this servant, could not see. And I'm going to tell you something, church, tonight, that there's sometimes that the man of God, God gives a man, here in your church and in my church, he gives that man of God some things that he can see that sometimes you cannot see. And I want to encourage you tonight, if the preacher gets up and it's not immoral and it's not against the doctrine, it's not against the Spirit of God, and he says, "God's given me a vision for the church and you can't see it," that doesn't mean that it ain't true. And there's been many a times when I was when I was sitting in Glory Land Baptist Church as a member, and our pastor, our former pastor, would get up and say, "God showed me these things." You know what we did as a church? We just got behind the man of God.
Amen. Amen.
Boy, there was times he stepped out, Brother Ronnie Wayne. I ain't going to lie. There was times he would come and he said, "God's told me to do this." And we didn't have to have we didn't have to call all the men in the back and vote about it. Amen. Now, I don't know if y'all do that here. I ain't got no clue if y'all do that here. But I want to preach on this thought, some things the church needs to see again.
Yeah, amen.
Some things the church needs to see again. Now, as a way of introduction, I want to look at these verses real briefly and then give you some things the church needs to see again. I want you to notice in verse number 8, there's a snare of the enemy. The king of Syria, amen, he wanted to snare his prey. The Bible says in Psalms 110, "The wicked had slayed a snare for me." I want you to know tonight that every Christian in here, the devil hates your guts. The world hates you. You know, my friend, they would have no greater happiness to see a Christian fall.
Yep.
And the devil, I'm going to tell you something, friend. The devil's been doing it a long time, and he knows what snare to put in your way, amen, yep. To have you fall and bring shame and reproach to the house of God. And the king of Syria, he had laid a snare. But I want you to notice here in verse number 9, I've got to move through this so we can get done tonight. "And the man of God sent unto the king of Syria, saying, Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down." Not only do you find a snare of the enemy in verse number 8, you find the sight of the man of God in verse number 9. Now I want you to know this tonight, that your pastor this tonight is not, he's fallible, amen. He's not infallible. The preacher can, every now and then, we make mistakes. And sometimes we step out by faith. Sometimes it works and sometimes it don't. But I want you to know this. I've been in churches where they'll get up and the preacher's trying to lead the congregation. And they'll say this, "Well, we just don't see it that way, preacher."
Yeah.
And I want you to know tonight, friend, that here the preacher goes to the king. I mean, this ain't some Joe Blow. This is the king. And he says, "I'm warning you, don't go that way."
Right.
And you know what the king could have said? He has no authority over me. I am the king. I can do what I want to do. And friend, I know that in my church particularly, there's a lot of kings sitting in the pew saying, he has no authority to tell me what to do. He has no authority to tell me how to raise my family. He has no authority to tell me how to spend my money. And I'm just trying to tell you, friend, I'm not a dictator at my church, but when God shows me something, you better listen to what God saith through the man of God.
Amen.
Amen. I've been dealing with a situation and it broke my heart. But this particular person did not listen to me. They went against counsel and it broke my heart. And you know what, friend? You can do what you want to do. This is a free country. This is a free church. This is not an occult. Amen. We're not David Koresh down in Waco, Texas. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. God has put a man in this pulpit that watches and gives an account for your soul. And if he stands up here, if you come into his office, if he has an office here, I don't think he does. But if you come and meet with him and he says, hey, this is what God has shown me, you would be better off just listening to the man of God and following the man of God.
Yeah, amen.
This is what I've learned in 3 years of pastoring. When they make it to your office, they've already made a decision.
Right.
When they make it to your office, they're not asking you. They're telling you what you're going to do. They're going to do. And what they want me to do, Brother Jeremiah, amen, they want to put my stamp of approval on it no matter how I see it. Now, I'm going to tell you, friends, you need to listen to the man of God. Over in Acts, and y'all don't turn there, just for the sake of time, in Acts, Paul is dealing, and he says this in Acts 27:10, and he said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage would be of hurt and much damage, and not only the landing of the ship, but also our lives. He looked at that crowd and said, hey, there's going to be a shipwreck if we get on this ship. And you know what the people, the sailors of the ship said? That's just a preacher, amen. He don't know nothing about sailing. He don't know anything about the seas. He needs to stay in his pulpit. And the preacher stood up and said, hey, this is going to end up shipwrecked.
Amen.
You know what? I preached the message on what happens when you don't listen to the man of God. And God showed me something. When that boat broke up and that shipwreck come, you know, there were people that were able to swim to the shore. I'm going to tell you something, friends. When you shipwreck your life, there's going to be people in your boat that can make it to the shore. But they're strong enough to make it to the shore. But there was others hanging on the pieces, amen. And they were about to drown. Friend, your life and the things that you do not only affect you, they affect this church. They affect the spirituality of the church. They affect the movement of God in the church. And when the preacher gets up and say, hey, church, I perceive that this voyage is going to be hurt, listen to the man of God.
Amen.
He sees things that you don't see. Do you know we have to, and most preachers should, we have to walk in a different spiritual realm than the rest of the people. The burden that it takes. Boy, somebody asked me when I first took over pastor, they said, boy, I bet you it's going to be hard to get 3 sermons each week. You know what I said? That ain't the hard part. I mean, that's the easy part. What I'm doing right now is the icing on the cake, hallelujah.
Yeah.
I mean, and I love cake.
Yeah, yeah.
Hallelujah. Somebody say amen right there. I love cake. All I was waiting on was Katie and Tim to get in there to cut that cake. Hallelujah. Preaching is a release valve. I tell you where the pastoring comes in. It's in the middle of the night. It's at the funeral home. It's down there at the hospital. Amen. It's in the office. That's where the pastoring comes. What I'm doing tonight's the icing on the cake. Just have an opportunity to preach the Word of God. But when I step out, now I'm not saying I can't make mistakes because I do. But I'm going to tell you, there was the sight of the man of God. He said, hey, don't go. He said, you better not go down there. They done laid a snare. They laid a snare. The preacher gets up and says, hey, church, I wouldn't go down there. I wouldn't fellowship with it. Well, who is he to tell me?
Come on.
I mean, I'm a grown man.
Yep.
Hey, I was a grown man too, and the preacher said, don't do this. You know what I was? I was just ignorant enough to follow him. There's been times that you think that sometimes people say, I'm a mean preacher. I don't try to be a mean preacher. But you know, people come, Brother Charlie, I mean, I'm telling you, when we first got saved, dear God, he would run you off. He said, hey, boy, you don't like it. You see that door? You go out that door, you go down them steps, and don't let the door hit you in the bloop. Now, that's a mean preacher. But you know what I needed in my life? I needed a man to tell me I am messing up.
Yeah, thank God.
I needed that. Now, I know men don't like that. Boy, I tell you, they'll balk on you on two things. When you talk to them about their family and their finances, they'll balk on you. Mm. Amen? Mm. I better move on. I got to get past that point right there. Verse number 10 there, look at that real quick. The Bible says this, and the king of Israel sent to the place which the man God told him and warned him of and saved himself there. Not only do you find the snare of the enemy, the sight of the man of God, you find the submission of Israel. I'm going to tell you something. This is a dirty word in the church. Amen. I'm going to preach on dirty words in the church. Amen. One of them's called commitment. That's a dirty word. But the second one is submission. I'm not submitting to him. I'm not submitting to the man of God. I'm not submitting to what that man said. Just think, if Israel did not submit to that preacher, what would have happened? He had set a snare. I better move on. Y'all didn't like that point. Let me find something y'all like. Look at verse number 11. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled of this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, will ye show me which of us is for the king of Israel? I mean, this guy can't figure out the preacher. I mean, he's laid a snare, and nobody, as far as he knows, has told the king of Israel, and he gets down there and he's trying to figure out who the spy is in the camp. But I'm telling you, God already told the man of God what was going to happen. God had already showed him. So you find the surprise of the king of Syria. But you know what? Psalms 109 verse 29 says this, let my adversaries be clothed with shame. Let them be covered themselves with their own confusion as with a mantle. I'm telling you, when you submit to God and you submit to the man of God, you'll find out you'll stay out of a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
I've had them come and say this, I sure wished I had listened to you. I sure wished I had took your advice. I sure wished I hadn't never left. I sure wished I hadn't never dated her. I sure wished I hadn't never went down there. I sure wished I ain't never took that job for a dollar more and took me out of the house of God.
Yeah. Yep.
It's so funny. Everybody wants to throw Peter under the bus and say, well, old Peter sold the Lord out. We sell him out every day. Hey, we'll get a job offer for 50 cents more and we'll move our whole family out of a good church.
Yeah.
Amen. That's too pastoral.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to tell you right now, we had a visiting family come not too long ago, moving in, and they're looking for churches. I tell you, if God's moving you somewhere, you better have a church before you have a job. Amen.
Yeah, that's good.
Hey, man, you need a church where the preacher will get up and preach the word of God. And, boy, you don't live here with all the warm and fuzzies, amen. You live here under conviction. Amen. Every now and then, I know the Bible says reprove and rebuke. That's two negatives. And then he says exhort. So preaching according to the word of God, it's two-thirds negative, amen. So if you ain't got two-thirds negative come from him, he ain't Bible.
Amen.
But I know he's two-thirds negative. Hey, I'm just wired negative, amen.
Yeah, right.
I struggle to get exhortation messages.
Yep.
Somebody booked me in for a Valentine's banquet one time. I said, you got the wrong dude, amen. Now, I ain't got no love messages. I ended up losing my support. It was one of my supporting churches, and they dropped me after that banquet, amen. Am I telling the truth?
Amen.
They dropped me. I ain't doing no more love banquets, amen. Listen, you know what? The king of Syria was so mad, he sent after in verse 13 and 14, they begin to search for the preacher. You know what? You know what the world had their mentality is? If they're gone, our problem will be out of here. We don't need no crazy Baptists down there preaching anything. Right. Hey, man, y'all help the preacher out tonight. Man, I understand on Sunday morning everybody's gloom and doom and all that. I understand that. But on Sunday night, you ought to be awoke, amen. Yeah. And I'm telling you, you know what the world wants? If we can get rid of all them crazy Baptists, amen, down there, that's preaching against sin, preaching against the lottery, amen, preaching against drugs and alcohol, amen.
Yeah, come on.
Preaching against cigarettes.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hello.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
We're going to stop and get us a lottery ticket going home. When I first got saved, I had where I used to work, they found out I was going to Florida and they wanted me to get them a lottery ticket. I said, have you lost your mind?
Come on.
Yeah.
Amen, preacher. I guess I'm going to have to tell you what I'm saying.
Amen.
Well, I played a lottery. I'm going to give 10% if I win to the church. Yeah, but what about all that 30% you're spending on tickets?
Yeah, right.
I better move on, son.
Yeah, right.
I knew I was leaving tomorrow, so I would say this for tomorrow.
Yeah.
The search for the preacher, amen. The prophet, amen. Let me find something else that might be better. How about the surrounding of the camp? They found him, and they surrounded the camp. They surrounded the preacher. They said, we finally got him. And I'm going to tell you something. The world would have no greater joy then for this church to have a for sale sign hang on the door and the parking lot empty. Because they don't like what your standards is in this church. They don't like how you raise your children. Boy, you know what would irritate them? You know what probably irritated somebody on Facebook? Them little children sitting here quoting Bible verses. You know what they're brainwashing their children.
Yeah, you're right.
Hey, they do it every day in school, friend. When they go to public school, every day they're brainwashing them. They're telling them there is no God.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you're wicked if you got to send your kids to public school. I ain't saying that. But if they get mad at us for trying to train our children in the way of the Lord. You know what them little kids are going to remember? They're going to remember them verses one day when they get old. And the Bible says that. The Bible says put it in your heart and it won't depart from you. But I want you to notice here real quick and then I'll get to the message. Amen. Oh, Lord, help us. I don't know if I'm going to cut some of this out. Really, I am. Verse 16 and 17, there was a surrounding of the camp in verse 15. But in verse 16 and 17, there's security that is in God.
Yes, sir.
Say, what if I do listen to the man of God? He'll take care of you.
Amen.
Hey, you don't know, preacher. He'll take care of you. Let me give you my wife's philosophy. She's here tonight. Amen. I thank God for my wife. Amen. And one time, and listen, I'm going to go ahead and tell you something, ladies. For y'all don't might know, well, you might see me and my wife pick. And I tell you what I put in Katie's little heart, that little heart thing that I had to, I mean, that came off of Pinterest. I'm going to go ahead and tell you that. There ain't no man come up with that. That come off Pinterest. I put on there, submit, woman. Now, that's a joke. You think if I walked in my house with a whip and said, submit, you know what? I wouldn't be walking right now. I'd be coming in here, crutching in here, amen. What's wrong with you? Y'all probably think, well, that's probably what happened to your tore-up calf, amen. That's what it is. Now stop. That ain't what happened to my calf. But I'm going to tell you this. People don't like that word. They don't want to submit. They don't want to submit to nobody.
Right.
But if I treated my wife the way the Bible tells me to treat my wife, and this is what the wire philosophy is, if you want to be the king of your house, here, man, I'm the king of my house. I know when she lets you. I run my house. Yeah, you run the dishwasher. You run the vacuum cleaner. But if you treat her like a queen, she'll treat you like a king.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. She'll look. But there's security. There's security. You know what? My wife, she looks for me for security.
Amen.
That's what she should look for. And listen, if you'll do what God tells you to do and you'll follow. This is what I was getting with. I can remember years ago, we were just young Christians and she said this, some profound stuff, ladies, you use it. You use it, all right? She said, listen, the Bible says I need to submit to you. Ain't that what, ladies, help me out.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm not the one that gave Adam the fruit. Don't blame me for that one. You know what? the Bible says that the lady should submit. Now, I know this ain't popular preaching. I know it's probably getting a bunch of thumbs down on Facebook right now. See, I see all them thumbs now. I'm saying thumbs up because that's what God said. Like me on Facebook. This is what she said. She said, I'm going to submit to you. She said, but if you're wrong, God's going to get you and not me.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
He's wrong. Submit to him anyway.
Yeah.
Unless it's immoral.
That's right.
Or it's not doctrinal.
Yeah. Come on.
And it's against the word of God. Yeah. And it's against the spirit of God. That's but right. If it's none of those four, if you'll submit to him and follow his leadership, there is security in God.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
There is. I've seen Brother Charter come back and said, I just got off the mission field. We're putting all this money in this mission field. Nobody stood up and said, I don't think that's fair, preacher. We just said, if that's what God told you to do, that's what we're going to do. That brings me to the actual message, amen. That wasn't the message.
Come on.
Let me see what I can cut out here. Three things. I'll just give you three things real quick. Now, I'm going to give you the text and you look it up because of the sake of time. Number one, what does the church need to see again? I tell you what the church needs to see again. We need to see heartbreak again.
Yes, sir.
You know, I've been preaching this at my church. The problem with Glory Land Baptist Church is this. It don't ever get outside the walls of the church.
Right.
We'll have a good brother with God can walk in that place. And he has recently. God got to stirring at the meeting. When y'all first came in, God got to stirring in that place. And you know what? Everybody hoops and hollers and says that, man, it don't get outside the walls of the church. There went one post on Facebook about how good God was, amen, that I'm aware of. And you know what, friend? You'll never see heartbreak until you step outside the walls of this church and get involved.
Amen.
You won't see heartbreak. You won't have the love for people. You won't get involved until you step outside the walls of this church. And I'm going to tell you, Lot, amen, we're talking about Lot. And over in Genesis, you know what happened to Lot? You know why Lot left? Lot didn't leave because, he just wanted to go down to Sodom. He left because of strife.
Yep.
That's why Lot left. And it wasn't strife between him and Abraham. It was strife between somebody else.
Yep.
And he got down there to Sodom, friend. And I'm going to tell you something. If you want to see what heartbreak is, you see what the devil and what Lot allowed to happen to his daughters, amen. That's heartbreak. You know what Lot saw? He saw a haven for cattle. He said, man, that would be a good place to raise cattle. But he did not ever consider that was a good place to raise a child, amen. And he got down there to Sodom, friend, and he had heartbreak.
Yep.
How in the world, brother? I know this man right here. I've been around him. How in the world could you take your two daughters and kick them out in the world? That's how bad sin will get in people's life. And friend, we walk around here and we think, boy, I tell you, they deserve everything they get, friend. We need to see what they're living in. We need to see the heartbreak again in the church.
Amen.
Let me ask you this. I don't know this answer. Only you get, when's the last time you were on the altar weeping over somebody that was dying and going to hell? When's the last time, friend, you got broken up over some little girl out there that's going to put a gun in her mouth and pull the trigger? Friend, we sit in our churches and we sing, I want to know more about Jesus, and I feel like traveling on, and there's people around our community, they don't have the hope that we got. Hey, friend, they don't know the happiness and joy that we got. And I tell you why, because we don't see heartbreak anymore. You know why? We won't get involved.
You're right.
So we wonder, what's wrong with us? Hey, I asked my church the other day, what's wrong with us? When's the last time? Now, at our church, some of y'all's been, we got altars at our church. They're long altars. Last time I seen a pool of tears on that altar was at camp meeting 3 years ago. And it was from a Navajo lady that came from Mount Powell. And she sat on this side of the altar and made a pool of tears. I was filling in one time, and I got to move on because of the sake of time. I was filling in one time for a church that had no pastor. They had four women in the church. And they come up to me and they said, hey, preacher, would you be willing to pastor the church? I said, no, ma'am. God's called me into evangelism. I know what I'm supposed to be doing. I said, but I will do my best to try to help you find somebody. And I said, by the way, I said, I'm just interested because they might ask. I said, how are you when it comes to debt? How, you know, I need to know stuff like that. And she said, oh man, we're debt free. We got money in the bank. And I said, well, let me ask you, I don't mean to be rude, but why is your carpet all tore up right here? Why won't you replace some of this stuff? She said, oh, we're not replacing that. I said, well, why ain't you replacing that? And this is what she said. It reminds us of how it used to be. She said, do you see right there? She said, back in 1960, God moving in this place. And people were saved in the community. And when we see that dry, when we see that worn out carpet, we remember how the church used to be. We remember how people used to use the altar. We remember people coming down and crying on the altar. You know why? Because they got involved. Amen. They saw heartbreak.
Yep.
We don't see the heartbreak no more.
Amen.
You know what helped this church? You know what helped Glory Land Baptist Church? You know what helped any church in this community?
Yeah.
To see heartbreak again.
Yes, sir.
When's the last time you wept on the altar, not for your sins, but for somebody else?
Yeah.
Oh, we'll weep over our sins, amen. We'll get emotional because God's chastening us, Brother Ted. But I'm going to tell you, friend, when's the last time you got a burden for somebody outside this church and you wept them and you cried them and you prayed over them and asked God to save them and bring them in the house of God? I tell you why we don't do that no more, because we don't see heartbreak like we used to. Too.
Amen.
I mean, when you first got saved, you witness to anybody, brother. You go up and you witness to a tree. Bless God, it had a soul, amen. You'd be telling that pine tree out there, you must be born again, amen. But hey, we walk on and see all these people and say that we try to say, well, they deserve that. They deserve to be in dope. They deserve to be a drunkard. I'm telling you something, friend. I deserve to be in hell when my back broke. But God, who is rich in mercy, who loved me, amen. And my grandmother, I'm going to tell you something, friend. My grandmother got under so much conviction when I was lost at 16 years old and I left home, friend. My grandmother, every day she called me and say, hey, preacher. I mean, she say, hey, Scott, if you die and go to hell, you'll go over an ocean of tears and a mountain of prayer, friend. And boy, I'm telling you, she prayed for me and prayed for me and wept for me. And at age 27, I remember walking the aisle of a church and I called my grandmother that day. I said, Nitty, she said, you don't have to tell me how you got saved, friend. You know what my grandmother saw? She saw heartbreak, but she also saw a Savior that can save, friend. And I'm telling you, friend, when are we going to see heartbreak again?
Amen.
We're too busy with our lives. Number one, heartbreak. When are we going to see heartbreak? Let me give you when are we going to see the hand of God again?
Yeah.
Over in Genesis 22. I'll just read the quick verse. You know, that's the story. Abraham's took Isaac up there. Boy, Isaac looks around and says, Daddy, we got the fire and we got the wood. Where's the sacrifice? He said, Lord, with pride of sacrifice. Hey, friend, I don't know about here, but you know what I yearn, brother? I yearn for the movement of God. I'm telling you what will help our churches. I'm telling you what will help your church more than that man preaching a six-week revival here or having the evangelist in here. You let God step in the building, amen. You let God come in here and put his hand on this church and put hands on you. You talking about a revival. I'll tell you something. When God moves in the church, friend, and you see people coming along, altar and weeping over their sin and weeping over souls, friend. When are we going to see that again? You know what we do, brother? I got to hurry up and get through preaching. You know what we do? We sit around and we talk about what it used to be and how it used to be. You know all we got left in our circles? I'll tell you, all we got left is a bunch of old stories. And we ain't seeing no new stories. We ain't having nothing new happen, amen. We ain't seeing revival break out in our churches. Why? Because we don't see the hand of God no more.
Amen.
You know why? Because we ain't sanctified people.
Yeah, you're right.
Now, I can preach all day on that. I'm going to skip it, amen.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't see that no more.
Yep.
Hey, every now and then, Brother Carpenter, the Lord will blow in our church. Every now and then. Another back before in the first of the year, there's a song we like to sing in our church. Oh, y'all sing it around here. Just Say Amen. Y'all sing that song? You ever heard that song?
Yeah. Amen. Yep.
And I got to fooling around and looking. I was trying to look up that song on internet because I wanted a good a conservative version. There's some pretty rocky versions of that song. And I got on there, brother, and I began to look up that song, Just Say Amen. And I come across a Baptist church, and they were doing them cardboard testimonies. Have y'all ever seen that? I'm telling you, it was interesting. And they were singing that song, and some guy would come up, and he'd have a cardboard test. He'd just say, I used to be a drunk. And then they'd sing that song, and he'd flip it over, and it says, "But I'm saved by the grace of God."
Yeah, man.
And boy, then this one girl come in, and you just look at her and say, "Man, there ain't no way that girl was out and see him." And she come in, and she had a sign. She said, "I used to be a runaway and selling my body on the street." And then she flipped it over, and she said, "I'm a saved child of God and a youth pastor's wife." Amen. I'm telling you, God began to stir my soul, and I went back and relayed that to my church, and next thing I know, God started blowing in that place. I said, "What if we'd done that here at our church? We just bring people up and say, 'I used to be this, but the grace of God.'" I'm telling you something, friend, and you see the hand of God moving in our place. Friend, we've seen times we wonder for revival and youth camp, friend. We can see God again in the church house.
Amen.
Hey, number one, we need to see heartbreak again.
Amen.
But we need to get out. We got to get out. Hey, I ain't preaching nothing. I ain't preaching at my church. I tell you, number two, we need to see the hand of God. Let me give you the last one here. We need to see a homecoming again.
Yeah.
I'm talking about seeing that prodigal come home, brother.
Amen.
Hey, there's people I know. I've been asking Brother Ronnie Wayne. I've been asking people, "Where's so-and-so at?"
Yeah.
Well, they ain't here no more. Hey, it ain't because they took a ministry.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Hello?
You're right.
Where's so-and-so at? They ain't here no more, preacher. I think about you kids growing up in camp. Yep. Y'all listening to the preacher? Hey, you going to bring your kids to camp? You going to bring your kids to camp? Why didn't you get quiet?
Yeah.
You already making plans to leave? When you get 18 years old, you making plans to leave too? I'm telling you, some of the worst things that's ever happened to me as a minister is people walking out of the church of God.
Yes, sir.
But I'm going to tell you, we've had some people leave, and we've had this little girl, she come back, and boy, I didn't think I'd ever see her come back to church. I mean, she come in, she married a nut. I'm talking about a certified nut. He's got papers. She just a nut. That little girl come back broken. Hey, we didn't go up to her and said, "I told you so."
Right.
Oh no, friend.
Right.
You didn't hear the father say, "I told you, boy. I told you get down there. Look at you spend every dime. I ain't giving you no more shoes. I'm not going to put a robe on you. You can't be a servant." No, friend. That ain't what the father done. I'm not saying you just tolerate open sin, but you got to have a place where they can come back in. And hey, friend, she come back and she sat down. And I'm telling you something, friend. God has fixed her, and God gave her a man that loved her, and they got two little children. And you know what keeps me going? Hey, there's others out there in the hall pen, son, and I'm telling you, they've just about had enough. Hey, they're going to come to their senses, and I want them to have a place to come home to, friend. Hey, it'll do more good for this church to see somebody come back and get right with God.
Yes, sir.
When's the last time you saw that? I tell you why we don't see that. We don't pray no more. I'm just preaching what I preach at my church.
Amen, bro.
Hey, when the church going to see that again? When we going to see those that's left come back in? You know what? We can't get a hold of God enough to pray conviction on them.
You're right.
Son, I'm going to tell you something. You want to see God move again? Then when we going to see that heartbreak? Well, wouldn't y'all want to see the hand of God just come through this place? Amen. We won't have to advertise. Hey, you won't have to advertise revival. They know it was noise that God was in the house.
Yes, sir.
Yep. You won't have to advertise that. I was over at Brother Tim Ellis's. Man, I'm just trying to obey the Lord. I'm almost done. I was over at Brother Tim Ellis's, and boy, he got about 3 years ago, son. I'm telling you, the closest I've ever seen revival. I'm talking about a revival. It was like a Tuesday night, and this is a man in his church, and the preacher got through preaching, and he just come. It scared me half to death. He started wailing and squalling, got on the altar, and the preacher said, "Come on, son. Come on, son." Next thing you know, people started piling out. I'm thinking they're up here praying. No, they're in there getting saved. And this is true. You can call Brother Ellis right now. There were people in the community. Nobody's told him. Then God was drawing them to that church. You think we could see that here in Hamlet, North Carolina? Hey, I know there's been advertisements of revival. I'm not talking about getting everybody saved again.
Yeah.
I'm talking about true revival.
Yeah, amen.
I'm going to tell you, when true revival breaks out, there'll be a sense of holiness in the church.
Amen.
And you'll realize how holy He is and how unholy you are.
Yeah, amen.
Last one, and I'm done. We need to see, amen, we need to see heartbreak again. We need to see the hand of God again. We need to see a homecoming again. I tell you what would help us. We need to see hell again.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Amen.
Look at the preacher. I'm almost done. Hell is a real place.
Yes, sir.
And there's real people in hell.
Amen. Yep.
Some of your family is going to die and go to hell. And one day, you're going to stand there with the blood dripping off your hands. You're going to stand there. I'm going to stand there. I'm just as guilty as you are. And we're going to stand there with blood dripping off our hands when God says bind them hand and foot and cast them in the lake of fire. Why do you think God's going to be wiping away tears? Hello? You know what? When's the last time, maybe here, but when's the last time you heard a full message, Brother Ted, on hell? Really? I mean, this is an indictment on me.
Yeah, right.
In 3 years, I ain't preached a full message on hell in my church. Because you know what? We assume everybody in the church is saved. And that could be the truth. But we need to see hell and it's real.
Yeah.
It is so real. The Lord preached more about hell than He did on heaven.
Right.
He said, this is what the Lord said, if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. He said, I'd rather you go through life blind than enter into hell. He said, hey, if your hand offend thee, cut it off. The old-timers saw hell.
Mm-hmm.
How many of y'all know, have ever sung that song, Brethren, we have met here to worship?
Yeah, right.
Read the words to it.
Mm-hmm.
Hell is moving.
Yeah, right.
Can you bear to let them go?
That's right.
Can we bear to let them go?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Now, one verse, and I want to wrap this up. I want you to turn over to Matthew chapter 20. When you turn to Matthew chapter 20, and I'm not going to apologize for going 15 minutes over. I believe I've done what the Lord would have me to do. And I've cut a lot of this out. Matthew chapter number 20. Now, if you're in Matthew chapter number 20, I want you to look in verse number 30, and then you say amen when you're there.
Amen.
All right, I'm going to read again 2 Kings 6, 17. I'm going to read that, and then we're going to read Matthew chapter 20, verse 30 together. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, now watch this statement, pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened his eye, the eyes of the young man, and he saw. The preacher is praying, let's spiritualize it, for the pew. The preacher's saying, will you open their eyes that they might see? Now, I want you to look at Matthew chapter number 20. The Bible says this, verse 30. And behold, two blind men sitting by the way, when they heard Jesus pass by, cried out and said, have mercy on us, O Lord. O Lord, thou son of David, and the multitude rebuked him because they should hold their peace, but they cried out more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, what would ye have that I should do unto thee? Now they could have said, could you up our disability benefits? I mean, they could have said that. They could have said, can you got some money to spare? We're of hunger. We're beggars. That ain't what they said. Verse 33, they said unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be open.
Yes, sir.
You know what? I relate that too. That's the pew asking God to open their eyes. Hey, church. Hey, Hopewell. When's the last time you came to an altar and said, God, open my eyes.
Yep.
That I might see. That I might see heartbreak in the community, that I might see the hand of God again. Oh Lord, let our church see a homecoming again. I tell you how we're going to get it done. We're going to have to get it done on our knees and within prayer and within supplication. And the question tonight is, do you want your eyes to be opened?
Yep.
Maybe the Lord's blinded you. In the night, church, I'm going to turn it over to the pastor and he can do whatever he wants to do at this time. I'm going to have him to come. But if I could leave you with one thing, I would pray that you would, I would ask that you would pray that God would open your eyes. Maybe you've got a little hardened. Maybe the world's hardened you a little bit. You know what God wants to do? He wants to open your eyes that you may see. Father, we ask you this tonight. God, that you would move on this place. Lord, maybe they don't see heartbreak like they used to. God, maybe there's some that wants to see the hand of God. Others, maybe they don't see hell like they should, like the Bible preaches and teaches. I pray, God, tonight you'd move in Jesus' name. Preacher.